Nation. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just up Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station. Go up the hill, and there you will first come to Thornwood Primary School, and then you'll come to our building. And we bid you a warm welcome. We meet on the Lord's Day, and that's Sunday at 11 a.m. And we also meet on the evening at 6 p.m. And we have a midweek meeting where we meet on Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. And we do bid you all a warm welcome. Come just as you are. You'll be made more than welcome. And you'll hear something concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come out with the gospel because, well, one or two reasons. First reason is we have been commissioned by the head of the church. Who is that? Well, that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has commissioned his original apostles and the disciples. When he ascended back into heaven, he gave them what we call the Great Commission. And that Great Commission was to go into all the world and to teach all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all the things that Christ had commanded them. And the early church took up that commission with great zeal and with great gusto. But obviously, because of limitations regarding travel, it wasn't possible for them to go into all the world. It just wasn't physically possible for them to do that in their lifetime, considering the primitive travel arrangements that they had. But nevertheless, the early apostles and the disciples were very diligent, and by their preaching of Jesus and the resurrection, in a couple of centuries or three centuries after the death of the Lord Jesus, what do we find? The world was turned upside down. That was the verdict. That was the verdict of unbelievers. The world was turned upside down. And it was turned up by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, we come out this afternoon, despite the inclement weather, which we soon believe will pass, because that same gospel has not lost its power. It is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And the message that we seek to bring to your attention this afternoon is as relevant now as it was in the first century. Why do we say that? We say that, friends, because the gospel addresses man's greatest need. What is man's greatest need? You might think that the greatest need that has come upon mankind you might think it's something like coronavirus. Or you might think that this ongoing war in Ukraine, maybe that is mankind's greatest problem at this moment. Or maybe it is the cost of living crisis. Or maybe it's the high prices for fuel and for energy. Maybe you think these are the things that are the most important things for mankind to deal with. Or maybe you're one of those persons who believes that the most important thing today is to have independence. Well, I'm not going to enter into politics, but I can tell you, friends, that these things are nothing in comparison with a problem that faces every single one of us, young or old. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter our sex. It doesn't matter about these things. It doesn't matter whether we are rich or whether we are poor, whether we be educated or uneducated. It matters not. I'm talking about the greatest problem that faces every single human being, and that problem is sin. You don't hear much about sin today, and even if you might go to a Christian place of worship, you might not hear the minister talk about sin. But let us be clear. The message of the Bible and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't make sense until we get a grasp and an understanding of the doctrine of sin. What basically is our problem? Our basic problem, friends, is described in the Bible. You look it up in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, there where the Apostle Paul tells us, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now that might not seem much to you today, in reality, with all our wealth and with all our technology, but that is mankind's greatest problem. Yes, sir.
Yes, I was just wondering why you haven't looked me in the eye.
Well, I'm speaking to everybody around there.
Well, in Partick.
Well, everybody here, not everybody in Partick. Obviously, I don't have that good a voice.
I think you've got a good voice.
Well, I try to use it profitably, yes.
I totally agree with you.
Okay.
There you go. Why didn't you look me in the eye?
Well, I'm looking at you in the eye now.
Now.
Why should I look at you, though, sir? I mean, there's other people. I don't look at everybody else either. I'm looking around generally. I have a message for everyone, not just for you, sir. And the message is quite clear.
At least I listened.
Good. I'm glad, sir. Good. I'm glad. The message is clear. That message is that we're sinners. It's a message we don't like to hear. But nevertheless, we need to hear. Because it's not a message from the church. And it's not a message from a minister by himself. It's a message from God. It's a message from heaven. It's a message from our Creator. And friends, you might live an exemplary life. You might live a life that's good. You might be a good neighbor, a good husband or a good wife, a good son or a good daughter. You might be a good employee or employer. It doesn't matter. But as far as God is concerned, He has a controversy with you. And it's concerning your personal sin. And friends, this is why we come out, because we have the answer. The answer's in the gospel. The answer's in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we come out, in order that you might know this, and in order that you might avail yourself of the glorious salvation that has been secured by the life and by the death and by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Do you know, friends, many people dismiss the Bible. They dismiss it. And they say they cannot understand it. And they say it's an old book and it's out of date. But these things are not true at all. The Bible speaks to modern man. The Bible speaks to the 21st century man. In the Old Testament, there are 27 in the New Testament. We could sum up the Old Testament by saying these books are preparing the way for the coming of the Son of God. And the New Testament declares the coming of the Son of God and of His working through the early Christian church. And therefore, the whole of the Bible is taken up in putting forth the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. The Old Testament is preparing us for His coming. And the New Testament introduces His coming to us and what He has done and what the early Christian church did after the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And as I said, the Bible addresses our greatest need. And because of our sin, that's our greatest problem. Because of our sin, we have a problem in the sense that we are estranged from God. We are estranged from our Creator. Yes, God is the one who has created us. Don't believe the lie of evolution. It likes to present itself as being full of learning and full of scientific fact and knowledge. Nothing could be further from the truth. The theory of evolution doesn't even deserve to be called a theory. It is, quite frankly, unscientific nonsense. Nothing can come from nothing. You know that yourselves. Even basic arithmetic will tell you that. 10 times nothing is nothing. 100 times nothing is nothing. 10,000,000,000 times nothing is nothing. Nothing can come from nothing. And friends, none of us can deny there is something. What is that something? Well, there is this vast and this glorious creation. Here we are. We live in a very, very small part of it. There's the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets. A great, huge, vast universe. Where did it come from? Where did life come from? How have we got to where we are today? Evolution cannot possibly answer these questions. No, friends, because the very fact that it's something, it demands a creator. And the Bible tells us, right there at the very beginning, in the first book of the Bible, in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, written by Moses, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There, right at the very beginning, God alone is eternal. He spoke and He brought all things into being at a word and at a command. Our catechism tells us the work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of His God speaks to our generation. Is there not confusion today regarding transgenderism? Are there not people trying to tell us that we can change our gender and that there are other genders? What does the word of God say? The work of creation is God's making all things of nothing in the space of 6 days and all very good. And God made man after His own image in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Male and female, He made them with dominion over the creatures. There we have what the Word of God says, and it addresses our situation today. And this would prove that the Bible indeed is relevant. The Bible speaks to contemporary issues today. It tells us about things that we need to know. It tells us that there is a Creator, and this Creator has made us. He has formed us in His own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. But something happened, friends. Something happened that changed the relationship that our first parents had with their Creator. What happened? Well, Adam and Eve, who are our first parents, and again, this can be scientifically proved, that we've all come from one set of parents. Adam and Eve, when they were created holy and upright, and they had a wonderful relationship with their Creator. And they were given a simple command. They were given a command that the Lord might test their love for Him. And what was that command? Well, the command was that they could eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden except for one. They were not allowed to eat from a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they did eat of that fruit, they would die. A very clear commandment. And the Lord was testing them whether they would be obedient to the Lord their God. And what happened? Well, the evil one came. Satan came. And he tempted the weaker vessel. He tempted Eve. And ultimately Eve succumbed to the temptation. She looked upon the fruit and she said, "It looks good." And she took some and she ate it. And then she gave some unto her husband. She was deceived. And Adam disobeyed. And ever since that moment, something happened. Death came into mankind's experience. Because they were told, if they would disobey God, death would come. And that's what happened. The moment that they ate the fruit, they died. They died in a spiritual sense. What does that mean? Well, they lost communion and fellowship with the Lord their God. Before that, they had a wonderful relationship. But since their disobedience, that relationship was broken. They died spiritually. Now, this is how it affects you and I. Because we've all come from Adam and Eve. They are our first parents. And we have inherited their sin. This is what we call original sin. We have sinned in them. We are guilty with them. And therefore we are born with a sinful nature. And sooner or later that sinful nature will manifest itself in sinful behavior. And you know it yourself in your own experience. If you're a parent and you brought a child into this world, there will come a time when that child will misbehave. Did you teach them to misbehave? Of course not. You didn't teach them to do it. Then why do they do it? Why do they lie? Why do they cheat? Why do they misbehave? Who has taught them? No one has taught them. It has come from their own sinful nature that they have been born with. And it's the same for every single one of us. None of us are accepted. We're all part of this problem. We have a sinful nature, and that nature will manifest itself. It will reveal itself in sinful actions. This is a real problem. And the problem is sin. And the problem is so great that we cannot deal with it ourselves. We don't have the inclination. We don't have the desire. We don't have the will. But this problem is great because if it's not addressed, if we continue in our sin, and if we pass into eternity in our sins, what will happen to us? Well, the Bible again is clear. It's very clear. It tells us that after death there is judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Now, that's not a very nice thing to say to someone you don't know anything about. Oh, dear, dear, what a terrible tirade. Out of the heart the mouth speaketh. You know, you can hear what's in people's hearts by their tongues. And it manifests that they have an evil heart. And you can assess your own life and your own heart. What comes out of your mouth? For what comes out of your mouth is in your heart. And this is what we're dealing with. We're going straight to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is that our hearts are sinful. You can read it in the book of Jeremiah. I believe it's chapter 13. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? That's not the heart necessarily of the murderer or the pedophile. That's the heart of every single one of us. That's God's verdict upon the human heart because of sin. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't really know ourselves. We don't really know our own hearts. But God does. And God has done something about man's greatest predicament. What has he done? He has sent forth Jesus Christ the Lord. The Son of God became the Son of Man. The Son of God took upon himself our nature. He became like us. He just lived just like we did. He lived an absolutely perfect life. He never sinned in thought. He never sinned in word. He never sinned in action. He alone lived a flawless, sinless life. And ultimately, because the religious people of the day hated him, because he showed up their hypocrisy, he was crucified. Now that was a terrible act. Of course it was. But you know, it was all part of God's plan. You see, someone had to pay the price of mankind's sin. A man had to do it. And the man, Christ Jesus, is the one who went to the cross. He suffered and died. He offered up himself as a perfect, once for all sacrifice to satisfy the just and the inflexible demands of God's most holy law. And here, friends, we're delighted to tell you, here is the very essence and the very heartbeat of the Christian gospel. If we will but believe upon the Lord Jesus, all our sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ was working out a salvation for us. He was providing a way of escape. He offered up himself as a sacrifice. Yes, we know wicked men put him to the cross and they wanted to get rid of him. But God had a plan, and that plan was that Christ would give of himself to satisfy God's just demands. Because we could never do it. We can never obey God fully. We cannot. He has given us commandments. He's given us the Ten Commandments. You know them. They're written in your heart. But we cannot keep them. It's impossible. But the Lord Jesus Christ has. He has done something that no one else could possibly do. He has kept the law of God perfectly, in word, in thought, and in deed. And now, because of what Jesus has done 2,000 years ago, we're able to come out on Dumbarton Road and in Partick and in Hindland and to tell men, women, and boys and girls to come and to believe the gospel, to repent. Yes, that's the gospel command. God commands all men everywhere to repent. What does that mean? You know, you might go to a Christian place of worship and you might never hear the word repent. Well, the word repent means to turn away from your sins. That's what it means. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. And friends, in order to benefit from what Christ has done, you must repent. You must turn from your sins. Turn from your sins, all of them. You must forsake them. You must forsake your lying, your cheating, your gossiping, your adulteries, your fornications, your blasphemy, whatever it is. You must turn away from them and you must believe. What must you believe? You must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe that He is the only begotten Son of God. You know, there are people who believe on the Lord Jesus, but they don't believe He is God's Son. And they say, God cannot possibly have a son. But God has always had a son. God the Father is eternal. He is an eternal Father. He didn't, like us men, become fathers at one point in our time. No. He was always a Father. And the Son of God was always His Son. And the Son of God came from heaven, took upon Himself our nature, became like us. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by a miraculous, mysterious action of God the Holy Spirit. And there He was conceived. And there, ultimately, He was born in the normal manner and lived a normal life until about 30 years when He began His public ministry, when He was baptized. And the voice from heaven said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit came upon Him like a dove. There you have the doctrine of the Trinity. The Father spoke, the Son was baptized, and the Holy Spirit came upon Him to equip Him for His work, for His ministry. And we bless God for His work and for His ministry. There's no one spoke like the Lord Jesus Christ. No one did. This man speaks with power and with authority, they said, not like the scribes. No man ever spoke like this man, the church officers said when they were about to arrest Him. They couldn't touch Him because they said, no man has ever spoken like this man. And He went around doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, unstopping the ears of the deaf, enabling people to speak who could not speak, and many, many miracles He did, demonstrating that He was the Son of God. He was that long-promised and long-sought-after Messiah. But ultimately, friends, His mission was to come and to suffer and to die. Why? Because He wanted to deal with mankind's greatest need and greatest predicament, that of our sin. And that's why we come out this afternoon, to tell you the truth as it is in Jesus, to tell you, friends, that there is a way of escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And what a salvation this is. This is deliverance. This is freedom. This is true freedom. This is freedom from the guilt and from the power and ultimately from the presence of sin itself. That's our greatest need and that's our greatest problem. And it is a pleasure to come out this afternoon that we might in some sense introduce the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to you. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just up Dumbarton Road here. You'll come to the police station. And opposite the police station, go up that hill. You'll come first to Thornwood Primary School. And then you'll see our building on the crossroads beside there. Come along tomorrow, the Lord's Day, Sunday at 11 or again at 6 p.m. in the early evening. Or we meet also on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. And we do extend a warm and sincere welcome to you all that you might hear something more concerning Christ and the glory of His work that He has done on Calvary's tree. May God bless His word to you.